Nazir Perek Tes Mishnah Base 9-2. This Mishnah primarily makes one point. There are a number of words. There's something getting distracting, therefore. But the main point the Mishnah wants to make is that there's the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, a tradition that goes all the way back to Mount Sinai, that if a Nazir has completed his Nazirus, and after that he discovers that he had been exposed to a Tumah source, a piece of human remains, that would convey Tumah to him, but that Tumah source was called Tumas HaTahom, which, without translating it, means a corpse that no one ever knew was there. A person died all by himself, and we based on the circumstances we're assuming, no one ever knew he was buried there. It was an unknown Tumah source, and that's what he's exposed to. So then the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai is that since he completed his Nazirus entirely, assuming that at the time he was exposed to Tumah, he wasn't already, hadn't already been exposed to Tumas Mace, besides for that, Tumas Atahom. So then the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai is he doesn't need to go back and repeat his Nazirus. There's a special dispensation. He's done. Okay, so that's the main point of our Mishnah. It doesn't have any rationale. You can't make logic about it in terms of chazakas and sveikas and fair and what Hashem thinks is reasonable and did his best efforts or any other thoughts like that. It's simply Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's a separate rule all to itself for God and Nazirus. The Tumas Atahom, if one meets those three conditions. Number one, it was specifically Tumas Atahom, a Tumas source that no one ever knew about. And number two, he hadn't otherwise been exposed to Tumas Mace at the time, so he has a chazaka being tahor, and number of from Tumas Mace. And number three, he's totally completed his Nazirus process, and he had been permitted to return to normal life. So then the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai is, he doesn't need to repeat himself. Okay, that's the main point of our mission here. Now let's see it inside. Nazir Shegilach. You have a Nazir who cut his hair, meaning the Tiglachas HaTahara, the last stage in the process. He's completed with his karbonos and cutting his hair, and now he's gone back to normal life. And then, v'noda lo shehu tamei, he discovers after the fact that he was exposed to Tumas Mace, and therefore, we assume that he has to start again, doing a Tiglachas HaTumah, and then waiting a new 30 days, etc. Im Tumah Yadua, so if it was a Tumah source which somebody somewhere had known about, meaning Tumah Yadua as opposed to Tumas HaTahom, somebody somewhere had known this person was dead at some point. So then, Soser, he loses all his days, he's set back and has to do everything from the beginning again after doing his Tiglachas HaTumah. But, Ve'im Tumas HaTahom, if it was Tumas HaTahom, a source of Tumah that nobody ever knew about, then Eino Soser, then he won't lose his days, subject to the description and the qualification I said before, which we'll see now inside. Now, the expression Tumas HaTahom literally would mean Tumah of the deep. Now, that's not what it means exactly. The point is, the Tahom is like the depths of the earth, you know, beneath the surface of the earth, where no one really knows what's going on down there. And the idea is, it's similar. Tumas HaTahom is, there was somebody who died, and no one knew about him being dead, so who knows what's going on down there. But then one discovers, oh, there was a dead body, and this Nazir was exposed to it. So, the Mishnah further qualifies, Im Adshlo Gilach, even if it was Tumas HaTahom, but the Nazir hadn't finished the last stage of his Nazir's process, meaning he hadn't cut his hair, Bein Kach or Bein Kach, it doesn't matter whether it was Tumah Yadua or Tumas HaTahom, it doesn't matter. Since he hasn't yet done the final step in his Nazirus, return to normal life, then Soser, so then the discovery that he was exposed even to Tumas HaTahom resets his clock, he has to bring his Tiglachas HaTumah and start again with his Nazirus all over again. Now, one important point, just I'm going to insert it here, la halacha, is that although Aratana is assuming that the final step in the process is the hair cutting, the Rambam Paskins, no, we saw before, that's the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that as long as a person got the hairs on Ma'akev, as long as a person got the blood of one of the three korbanos from his Tiglacha Satahara, Zerika Saddam, the blood was applied to the Mizbeach, so then his restrictions of being a Nazir have ended, and therefore the halacha would be in our Mishnah that it's not about haircutting per se, but rather about even just the Zerikas HaDam, the application of one of the blood of one of the Korbanos would be sufficient for him now to not have to go back to count as Nazirus again, assuming he meets the other two criteria, that he wasn't exposed to Memeis before and it wasn't Bechezkas Tumah, that's number one, and number two, that it was indeed Tumas HaTahom. Okay, so now the Mishnah will give illustration. Ketzad, how's this play itself out? Give us illustrations. The Mishnah says, Yarad litbol b'ma'ara. You have a Nazir who went into a cave to be tovel, to relieve himself from being tummy. So in other words, he had been exposed to, let's say, a dead rat. That doesn't set him back as far as the Nazir goes, but he does prohibit him from doing other things too, like eating truma, let's say. So let's see, now he goes to the mikvah to immerse himself, to become tahor. V'nimtza meis tzaf al pnei ma'ara. If it turns out that there was even a bit of a corpse that was floating in the water inside that, you know, cave area where he went to the mikvah, then tame, then he's ruled tame and everything restarts. So now, that's the din. Now, we don't even know for a fact that he came into direct contact or was even mahil, put his arm over this piece of corpse. But nevertheless, the point here is, this is tumah yadua. This person, somebody died at some point. Presumably someone knew about him dying, so it's not a tumah satahom. So now, this guy restarts his clock because he doesn't have the dispensation of tumah satahom, and he does just start again. The chiddush here of this case of Yard Litbol, he went to the mikvah to become tahor, is, even though you might assume that, listen, this guy's going to become tahor, obviously he's going to be mindful of any further tumah exposures, so you might say, oh, he was careful not to be exposed to the floating piece of corpse. No, we don't say that. We assume that he was exposed and he has to now start again. The reason why we assume that is because of the rule of safik tumah bershus hayachid is sveiko tame. We assume it's tame. And we treat him as tame. So we assume here, assuming there was just two or fewer people inside this cave where the mikvah was, so then it's a question, maybe he was or wasn't exposed, and we rule then he, positively we assume that he was exposed to tumah, and therefore he has to start his counting again. Period. Fine. There is a side point I don't really want to get into so much over here. There is some Mishnayos in the fourth parak of Maseches Taharos, which talk about a very similar case where we say there that we can treat him as being tahor, not tameh, in the case of like floating tumah in the mikvah. The Tosafos says, one answer, there's a big difference between floating like dead rat versus floating human remains, because human remains are more potent. You can even be Ma'ahil, you can, ohel is a way to convey tumah from a human remains as opposed to a dead rat, etc. So it's more strict, and therefore the Mishnah Taharos doesn't apply to the ruling over here. In any case, that's the main point of our Mishnah here is that if it was tumah yadua, then, and not an unknown tumah source, so then when he discovers that there was a corpse floating there, or a piece of corpse floating there, that resets his Naziris. He has to do his Naziris all over again, starting with Tiglach as a tumah, and then waiting 30 days, even if he had up to now thought he was done being a Nazir, that, you know, that we're looking to an event that happened months ago. It doesn't matter. On the other hand, Nimtza Meshuka Bekarka Hama'ara, if it's discovered after the fact, meaning the guy finished his Naziris, and then someone says, oh, look, in the news, we discovered some poor fellow was, you know, hiking, and he apparently must have, you know, got stuck in quicksand and drowned and starved to death and died in this cave, and no one knew about it. And then the Nazir says, oh my goodness, that was the very cave I used, you know, way back when I was a Nazir, to come tower from something. So then, since it was what's called Tumas at the home, no one knew this person was ever buried there or died there. He was just discovered at the bottom of some well where he must have fallen in or something. So then we'll be lenient and let our Nazir not have to do his recounting again. Now the case of the Mishnah more specifically says, Nimtza Meshuka Bekarka Hama'ara. If this poor fellow who seems to have died all alone, unbeknownst to anybody, is there sunken in some like hole in the ground, whatever it is, inside the cave area where the mikvah was, even if Yared Lahaker, even if the only reason that the Nazir went into this pool of water in the first place was just to cool off, still Tahor, he's ruled Tahor, meaning he doesn't have to do his Naziris again. Now the point here is the opposite extreme. In the previous line of the mission, we said the chiddush of Yar Litbol, you might have thought going to the mikvah to become tahor means a person's mindful of his exposure to tumah. And we said, no, still we assume he must have gotten tummy. Here, we're thinking, listen, the person's going simply for a swim because it's hot outside. He's not paying any attention to what's floating in the water. And therefore, you might think he was lax and not careful. The answer is, that doesn't matter. He doesn't have to be careful. He, since it was tumah satahom, he doesn't need to start his Naziris again, assuming that he got to the finish line with his Naziris the first time. Now, the last part of the Mishnah says, this is that other condition. Remember, I said there are three conditions. It has to be Tumas Satahom, we explained. It has to be that he's completed his Nazirus entirely, which we explained. But I also said he has to be not Bechezkas Tumah. He can't have been exposed to corpse Tumah prior to the introduction of Tumas Satahom. So here it says, if Litaher Metumas Mace, if the reason he went to this mikvah in the first place is to complete his Tahara process of a previous exposure to corpse Tumah, meaning, you know, the Nazir was a Nazir, he got exposed to a dead body, he then does his Meichat, the sprinkling on day 3 and day 7, after the day 7 sprinkling, then he goes to the mikvah to come Tahor. If when he went to the mikvah to come Tahor, it turns out in the mikvah there was Tumas Satahom, still Tameh, he's ruled Tameh and has to do his Nazirus all over again. The reason why is because he has a Chezkas Tumas Mace. When he went to on the mikvah that time, he had a chazak of being Tameh Mace, so therefore he doesn't get to reset his, he must do it again, even though what the only source that's messing him up now is really Tumas Satahom, meaning, just let me speak it up, for example. It's very possible that this guy went to the mikvah, dunked in the mikvah first to do his tefillah, and he became totally tahor, whatever. Okay, he's done with his Torah process, ignoring the nightfall issue, and then on the way out of the mikvah, he walked over the Tumas Satahom. It doesn't matter. Since we don't know when that happened, and since we're saying now that at the time he was exposed, he had Bechezkas Tumah, he'd been exposed to other Tumas Mace, so then, even though he was Matar himself from that first Tumas Mace properly, it doesn't matter. The leniency of the Halacha Moshe Mizino doesn't apply to him. And that the Mishnah says here, Letahar Matumas Mace, if he went to the mikvah for the reason of achieving Tahara from a previous exposure, then Tameh, we now rule that this Nazir, who thought he was done with his Nazirus, but we find out later on that he was exposed to Tumas Satahom, he is Tameh, meaning he has to do it all over again, Shechezkas Tameh Tameh, because if he has a Chazaka status quo of being Tameh, then he is treated now to be Tameh, Vechezkas Tahor Tahor. In contrast, if he had a status quo, a presumption of being not exposed to corpse Tumah, aside from the Tumas Tum issue, so then he would be treated Tahor, Shiraglan Ladavar, because they go after, like, what is, like, the I don't know, translate this. This is very hard to translate, okay? Meaning there's a reason to, there's a rationale, there's an explanation which makes it sound plausible. We should rule Tameh or Tahor based on his previous status. Now, the reason why I'm really stumbling to translate this is because, and please hear this well, this is important. There's no real rationale or reason behind this halacha of a person who discovers after the fact that he's done with his Nazirus that he was exposed to Tumas Satahom, that he should not have to do his Nazirus all over again. Okay, there's no rationale for that. There's no reason, there's no basis on some other existing infrastructure of halacha, of chazaka and tzveikas and tuma, none of that. It's just that there's a halacha l'moshe misinai. There's a rule all to itself, independent rule that rises above everything to the contrary to say, again, the Nazir who was exposed to Tumas Satahom, if at the time he wasn't Bechezkas Tumei Meis, and now he's completed his Nazirus entirely, he does not need to go and do it again. That's a rule. It stands independent of anything else, any logic, any other issues. So here when it says that we go after a sort of, if he was exposed to Tumas Meis before, he is now ruled Tamei, and if he was not, then we say he's now Tahor and doesn't need to do his Nazirus again, Shiroglan Ladavar, because there's like a basis for the matter. We don't mean literally there's a logical basis for the matter. We just mean that a person sort of sticks to his status quo. If he's done, then he's done. If he hadn't been exposed to corpse tomb before. But if he had been exposed to corpse tomb before, so then we sort of say, listen, his corpse tomb persists. And we're sort of giving like a support for this halacha l'moshe misinai, which in truth does not need any support. But it's like got a lot, it sounds, got a logic to it based on other matters. That's what reglayan ladavar means over here. And although it's not a necessary turn of phrase, you'll see now in the next couple of Mishnayos, we pick up on other topics where we use the same expression of Ruglan Ladavar. There's a basis for the matter, which actually is based more on real logic and the applications of how we use status quo, etc., Ruglan Ladavar, to resolve uncertain situations.